Talk Zone presents Consult Us on Business, featuring Frank Bisconti, the show that addresses the challenges of small business owners and helps those looking to become successful entrepreneurs. Here's your host for Consult Us on Business, Frank Bisconti.
Good morning or good afternoon, depending on where in the world you may be at this time. This is our second show, and we're fast becoming one of the world's best and resources for answering your questions about business and especially about becoming an entrepreneur, especially here in the United States. This afternoon, we have a fantastic guest coming on that you may want to really stick around and listen to. She is one of the United States' top female business consultants, and she was a person that went from being a regular corporate America person, just like you and me, that we have done many times, and at one point in her career, after accumulating a whole bunch of experience, made the decision to go out and start her own business. In fact, what you're going to hear from her is that she also started many businesses. And it wasn't just consulting that became a passion for her and something that she became very good at and continues to do today, but she also found some other opportunities. So becoming an entrepreneur doesn't necessarily mean that you have to limit the scope of what you do to one simple job or one task or one product or one service. There are a lot of opportunities out there to make money. A very interesting survey just came out today. AskMen.com, and you've heard about the millennials as one of the current groups of people that are, you know, part of the age population. And a very fascinating statistic came out when a very simple question was asked to them. They asked, what group of people in the United States do you admire the most? Now, in the past, when this question was surveyed, and the survey was of men, we would get answers like politicians, and certainly not in the recent past, but athletes, people that made a lot of money. But amazingly, this is the first time in all the years that they have been asking this question that the answer came out to be entrepreneurs. 35% of the respondents answered the question, who do you admire most as entrepreneurs? People like Bill Gates and other people that are now making their way through the business world, that are creating financial security for themselves, building these huge companies, sometimes taking them public. But that seems to be the focus, and it's very interesting because this is really what this show is all about. Find ways to give yourself opportunities to go out and create businesses for yourself to generate income and plan for your future. If you're going to do that, if it's something that you're seriously going to consider, also consider buying my book. It's My Turn to Become an Entrepreneur, because what the book does is it takes you through a step-by-step process for you to evaluate whether or not you even want to become an entrepreneur before you pull the trigger. It asks all sorts of questions and challenges you whether or not you're ready for the task, whether or not you have the skill sets to do it, whether or not you have the constitution to do it, because the world of being an entrepreneur is very, very different than getting up every day and going to work. So before you even consider taking that step, you need to learn what you're getting into. So if you have a chance to go on to Amazon.com, take a look for it. It's My Turn to Be an Entrepreneur, everything you need to know before you start a business. Let's jump into another segment here. Last week I touched on very briefly some of the political challenges that go on and how they relate to not only American consumers, but also what the effect is on small business and how those businesses could be affected by political decisions and what's going on out there in the political arena. I wanted to comment very briefly. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but it kind of reinforces my position on how important it is to really consider starting your business. And if you're a small business owner, why it's so important to keep running your business, find ways to make more money, find ways to diversify, plan for your future. This past week, August 26th, the Chairman, Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke, made a speech. And he's one of these people, you know, when Ben talks, everybody seems to listen. He is a somewhat difficult person to listen to in terms of listening to a speech because he likes to use a lot of very technical terms. He's very, very pedantic in his speech, and he doesn't really speak to the American public. He speaks to the politicians of the world and big business. But here's some of the interesting points that he made. And as Federal Reserve Chairman, for those of you that don't know, the Federal Reserve controls the money supply here in the country, and they have a very, very powerful position on driving the economy and making sure interest rates are in positions to help Americans and to help businesses to thrive. And they have a tremendous effect on the U.S. economy. Some people say that the chairman of the Federal Reserve even has more power than the president of the United States. So when Ben talks, people listen. Some of the points that he made in his speech, he absolutely had to address whether or not he believed the U.S. economy is stagnant. Now, that is a technical term, and a stagnant economy is not a good thing. It usually refers to an economy whose growth is under 4% every year. And as you know, the U.S. growth over the past several years has been hanging around the 2 to 3% range. But people like Ben Bernanke have been reluctant to actually classify the U.S. economy as being stagnant. They will use terms like it's a little slow or it seems to be improving. But in my opinion, we are in a trough right now because it's been going on so long. I tend to say it is a stagnant economy, and people like you and me, we need to be proactive about what we are going to do about that, especially as it relates to our lives. Another point that Ben made, in an attempt to try to be positive about things. Now, if you listen to Ben Bernanke, when he makes speeches, he's very monotone, and it's very hard for him to inspire. He'll never become president of the United States because his speaking style is very 1, 2, 3, and here's the way the world goes. So a lot of times you don't really get his emotional take on what the situation is relative to what's going on with the Federal Reserve and money here in the United States. You really have to kind of read through the lines. He wanted to point out some of the positives of the U.S. economy right now. Now, it's kind of interesting because listen to some of the points that he made. Number one was that the banking segment is doing a little bit better. You know, they're more stable now. Their balance sheets are improving. Well, you know, good for them. He made a point that since 2008, manufacturing here in the United States is actually up 15%. And that's good for the manufacturing segment. I'm not trying to say that any of these points are really bad, but there is a conclusion to some of these things that he was pointing out. He tried to tell everyone that the housing sector he believes will eventually turn around and become more positive, which personally I believe is nonsense. Now, I'm in no position to controvert Ben Bernanke, but I'm also a realist. I look at what goes on out in the U.S. economy right now. Home values continue to drop, and one little gem that he absolutely failed to bring to everyone's attention, which people who look at the real estate market kind of know is the potential bomb, is that there are over 1 million houses in the United States that have the potential of having their mortgages go into default. Now, if this happens, if the economic climate in the United States continues to decrease and all of these defaults occur, even a person who is not astute in the real estate market will understand that by dumping 1 million houses or more that go into bankruptcy onto the housing market, will drive down the cost. It's just a simple matter of supply and demand. The greater the supply, the smaller the demand, the lower the pricing is going to be. So if you own a home, you know, pray every night, if you are a religious person, that people do not continue to default on their mortgages, because the consequential effect of that will be that housing prices will continue to go down, because people interested in buying a home will have a million more options to go out and buy a $200,000 house for $50,000 or $75,000. Consequently, if you want to sell your $200,000 house, you're not going to get $200,000 for it. Next point that Ben made was kind of a zing to politicians. He kind of threw the ball in their lap and said, you know, what are you guys going to do? You guys need to find ways to pass certain laws in order to stimulate the U.S. economy. What are you going to do next? It was kind of a challenge. Now, the Federal Reserve is somewhat limited. I mean, they are not part of Congress. They don't pass laws. They are there to support and manage the money supply here in the United States. Another very interesting point that he made, which is one of the positives, which, again, you can hear me getting a little bit agitated about this, because I'm going to say the conclusion to all of this in just a second. He pointed out that some of the emerging economies around the world seem to be improving. So my response to that is, so, you know, good for them. I'm glad smaller third world economies are improving. That's absolutely fantastic. You know, terrific. However, that really doesn't address the situation here at the United States. Now, I want to look at things from a macro standpoint, because, you know, that's not what this show is about. This is not a political show. And what are the ramifications of emerging economies on the U.S. economy going to be over time? On and on and on and on. It doesn't matter. The point to Ben Bernanke's speech was that he made no real points about how he is going to improve the situation for Americans right now, how he's going to stimulate small business here in the United States, how he's going to leverage the power of the Federal Reserve to drive small business. You know, you got to keep something in mind. When people think of employment, they think of the large corporations in the United States, you know, the big ones, General Motors and Ford, and all of these major corporations. But what most people don't understand is that 80% of the people here in the United States are hired by small business. 80%. The focus for our government should be, how are we going to stimulate small business, either new ones or existing businesses, to keep employment up? On the employment point, historically, the average unemployment in the United States used to be 20 weeks. If you were going to become unemployed, that would be the average. Over the past several years, that average has jumped up to 40 weeks. Well, what does this mean? This is a very, very bad thing, because something very negative happens beside not having income when you're unemployed. What happens to people who are unemployed, and if you are unemployed and listening, you'll understand this, you lose your connection to the labor market. You start to become depressed, and you stop trying to push to find a job. Employers want people that have current work experiences. So the longer you are not employed, the harder it is to compete with people that have either just recently lost a job or are just coming into the labor market. And the other thing is, you start to have your skill set become diminished while you sit around sending out resumes or making phone calls or going on interviews. If you're not doing your accounting or your marketing or your sales, you start to lose those skills. So please keep in mind that, you know, what Ben had to say was, you know, a lot of positive things about big business, about the world economy. He said nothing positive about the U.S. housing market, about U.S. entrepreneurs, about existing businesses here in the United States and what the Federal Reserve is going to do to keep bolstering them to try to drive the unemployment rate down here in the United States. And if you remember, if you were here last week, we said that the effective rate of unemployment in the United States is really closer to 20%, not 9.2%. Well, we're going to take a short break right now. When we come back, we're going to bring on Donna Intricasa, one of the top business consultants here in the country, and we're going to ask her questions about how she became an entrepreneur and what she's doing these days. We'll be right back.